This is Wade Brathke, and you're listening to Wade's World, a Voice for the People program. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, Greenville, or New Orleans, or on Acorn Radio in Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points north and south, east and west, where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at kabf.org and acornradio.org. A podcast will be available, this show, on these websites and affiliatedmediamovement.org. Today, Wade's World is broadcasting from Nairobi, Kenya, in the Korogochu slum, where we have been organizing for the last 8 years. But you know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world, and today we're talking to two Acorn Kenya community organizers, David and Sammy. Sammy, introduce yourself.
I'm Sammy Dilango, working with Acorn Kenya.
I'm David Msongo, working with Acorn Kenya as a community organizer.
Absolutely. Well, first, let's talk about how we got started 8 years ago. It was right after the post-election conflict, wasn't it?
Acorn Kenya was launched in 1998 after post-election violence that saw so many people killed, so many houses, property destroyed, and the area that was most affected was Korogochu. This was a new news all over the world that actually prompted Mr. Wade Brathke, who is the founder of Acorn International, rushed to Kenya to start a chapter. So in 2010, he officially launched the organization by engaging two community organizers, that is David and Sammy.
Time flies. Now, Sammy, where did I meet the two of you? There's quite an interesting local organization here called Copa K. What was that Copa K about?
Yeah, Copa Kenya is a community, an organization for all trained community organizers in Kenya. And that's where Wade came. And from there, he requested that we have people who can support him in steering the module of Acorn International. And after an interview, we got engaged, me and David, as the first Kenyan Acorn organizers.
COPA K stands for Community Organization Practitioners Association of Kenya. Is that correct? I often joke that it's one of the only almost unions of community organizers in the world, but it's very unique to have an association just of community organizers. And y'all had both had some prior training here in Nairobi at another organization.
Yes, community organizing in Kenya is a model that started back in 1993, and I personally trained in the year 1999, and I did the training for 1 year. And it has levels. There is a basic community organizing, then there is advanced community organizing, and the trainer of trainers. And I did the three levels of based community, advanced, and I was to do COT, which I have not completed. But currently, I'm almost a trainer because I've done a lot with Acorn International.
I should say so. And you were working previously for the city of Nairobi, weren't you, David?
Yeah, I was once working with the city council of Nairobi by then, but now it is the county government. Actually, when I met Mr. Wade through Copa Kenya, Sammy has said, I got interested in organizing work. I saw what my community is going through, especially the Korogochu, the issues that they are actually facing. And I saw the city council by then was actually responsible in resolving these issues, but it was not doing anything. It was not not, it did not have any programs in the informal sectors, especially in Korokocho. So that one gave me a passion of resigning from my work and join Econ Kenya as one of its community organizers.
Let's tell people about Korogochu. This is one of the oldest slums, I guess you would call it, in Nairobi, and now is the third or fourth largest slum. But what's Korogochu really like? Y'all have now spent 8 years here or more. You want to start, Sam?
Yeah, Korogochu is one of the largest slums in Kenya, and actually it's the second largest
in Kenya,
after Kibera. And it has 10 sub-areas. And this is one of the areas where we fight people who come from different backgrounds and people with different difficulties. And we have majority of people because life here is cheap. And the houses are cheap. Food is cheap. And it's a life for the poor people that you can be able to adapt to yourself. And we have a myriad of issues affecting the people because from the word go, the settlement is not well planned. The houses are built in a scattered way. There are no infrastructures. Education is a problem. Environmental sanitation is an issue. And this calls our attention to organize the community so that we can build some sanity and also development within the area.
We just met the chief of Korogochu here a minute ago before we sat down. What's the structure of villages and the chief? How does that work here in Korogochu?
Actually, the chief is under the central government, and it's actually under local administration. He actually represents the president, the presidency at the ward level.
So he's appointed by the national government to be the chief.
That's right. That's right.
It's not like there's a local election.
It's not. That is an appointee position. And he actually looks at a myriad of issues along his side of work, things to do with the security, things to do with the environment, things to do with the education. Their roles are actually cutting across. Although these activities, their roles, they are again colliding with other areas. Other areas like the local government, that is the ward administrator, whatever they are doing is almost the same. But basically, his role is to represent the president at the ward level.
We were talking about the structure of the villages and what the chief does. We've organized, how many villages are there in Korogochu, Sammy?
We have 9 villages in Korogochu.
Nine
villages in Korogochu.
And we have organizations in how many?
Initially we started organizing 3 villages. But currently we are able to reach out to all the villages and even the neighboring villages.
What's the neighboring?
The neighboring, we have the Kariobangi. Within that cut of Korogochu, we have Madare, we have Kariandundu, we have Kasabuni, and Dandora.
When we were talking about the post-election violence, have we seen those kinds of issues in Korogochu since we've been working there?
Yeah, initially it was there, and there was a lot of tensions in terms of tribal disputes. And we've tried to do trainings on peace building, which has enhanced the relationship among the different communities in the Korogocho. And also a working relationship that brings the development of the community at large.
And the conflict was largely tribal, wasn't it?
It was tribal. It was basically tribal. It was
two major tribes.
Well, like Kikuyu and the Lumos. And then there were the others who are supporting maybe the Luo, another supporting Kikuyu. And it was more politically instigated.
We started a big campaign around education. What was the situation we found around education for children in Korogocho, and we started Acorn here?
We started with education, and the challenges were there were so many children who are not going to school, and so many who started schools then dropped out. And we had to do a lot of campaign awareness, even to the parents, so that they can take their children to school. And we've seen a tremendous achievement to this, because so many students, school-going children, are now going to school, and they are benefiting. And at the same time, we have also those who have dropped at the primary level. We linked them to secondary schools, and they have been doing well so far.
What was the bursary issue? Wasn't there a program that the federal government had to provide support to go to secondary schools for low-income children that was being appropriated for other communities?
Yeah, we had that bursary program that was benefiting children from Korogocho, and we had different types of bursaries, one from the central government, that is the Ministry of Education, another one was from the county government. All those who are supporting the community, but the needy cases were not actually benefiting, because we had cartels who were diverting the money to other families. So we had to do a lot of campaign to sensitize the community about the bursary, because most of them even didn't know the bursary existed. So we had to sensitize them on the existence, and we had also to guide them in the offices where they could get that bursary fund. So after a period of 1 year, things actually came normally the way it's supposed to actually be done. So those cartels are now finished, and so many needy cases are getting support from the bursary fund.
And that's been a big victory. So we're talking to Sammy and David, who are two community organizers with Acorn Kenya, working in Korogocho and the neighboring slums. Today, we talked a lot about a new issue that's come up over this year, and that has to do with school lunches. What's the nature of that problem that people are starting to bring to us?
Yeah, for many years, we, due to the poverty before, and also the sustenance of the children in the school, and also uplifting the standard of education, the government, in collaboration with the World Food Program, has been offering feeding program in most of the schools.
For 40 years?
Yeah, it's a long time. But now, after some time last year, the government started the World Food Program stopped actually supplying food to schools. And this has been a big issue, because now the parents have to ship in their pockets in order to support the program to sustain the children. We are experiencing dropout in places where we don't have the feeding program. Education is at risk once again. And we are trying to figure out the strategies on how we can go about it so that we actually actually don't return the level of education to the level it was initially.
We talked to the chief about this issue. What did he have to say to us, David?
Actually, the chief considered that the program has stopped, and he had to give reasons to why the feeding program actually was stopped by the government. One, he said there's a limitation in terms of budgetary allocation. Very little money was released this time. And two, there's that priority. They don't consider Nairobi as a very needy case. So they divided all the funds to the other area. But we agreed, all of us, that feeding program is very important in Korokocho for the purpose of school-going children, and also due to the retention of the same. Because as the chief was claiming, these parents actually get one meal per day. So the food they used to get in school was actually very important for these children. That's why it's very, very important for us to find a way, at least to campaign campaign for the program to be returned by the government. And then we look at the way we can sustain that program. As the chief suggested, maybe the schools can come with their own program of coming up with their own food. But before that, they should resume the feeding program in schools.
Exactly. The other issue that people started talking about was water, that there's high charges for water because of some distribution problem. Sammy, what's that about?
The issue of water has two major problems. One is the clean supply of water, and two, the prices control. And the people from the slum area or the urban settlement have been paying for water at a very high cost.
Is that higher than other neighborhoods in the city?
Yes, it's even higher. And this is mainly because we have a lot of cartels who control everything. And they hike prices, they don't have a regulated price. They can sell a 20-liter jerrican up to around 20 shillings. And in the normal cases, it's supposed to be sold at that price. So that you can see that it's a very exaggerated price.
And it's all city water. It's all public water. Yet
it's all public
private
water.
Interests are trying to jack up the prices. That's incredible.
Yes. So we are figuring out how we can be able to campaign around this issue so that we have a regulated and controlled means of selling water. And if possible, we can have public areas where people can get clean and safe water for drinking and domestic
use. At a price they can afford.
And also the price, affordable price.
What do you pay for water where you live in Nairobi?
It ranges from 5 shillings up to 20 shillings. So when there is a high supply, there is no scarcity of water, we pay 5 shillings. But when there is scarcity, maybe when the water has been diverted, like in the month of September when we have Nairobi show, we pay up to around 20 amatate per 20 jerrican.
How much water do you get for that 20 shillings?
Sorry?
How many gallons or whatever it is in a jerry can?
It's only one.
Okay.
One for 20 shillings. 20 liters a jerry can, you buy it at 20 shillings or 30 shillings.
And 10 shillings equal about one US dollar.
Sure.
So to give you an idea of what that costs. We also got an interesting meeting today with a local low-power community radio station that recently you all have been talking to and doing a show on. What's the story there? I know she was saying the manager we talked to said they organized the station in 2006, so it's actually been in Coragocha for a while.
The radio station has been an advocacy tool, particularly on issues affecting the community. And they have been doing great in terms of sensitizing the people, creating awareness, and also learning people around the campaign on various issues. And we are working out strategies on partnership so that we can also use the radio station, because it's a tool that is very powerful within the community. So many people are listening to the radio station, particularly the young people, and we are able to reach out to them in an easier way in terms of mobilizing towards any action that we are planning.
And what language is the show mainly run in? Is it it's not English, is it?
Normally the main language that's spoken within the storm areas is Kiswahili, and in sometimes they also a mixture of English and Kiswahili, English and native language, they call it Cheng. And so the language normally used in this radio station is Kiswahili and Cheng.
Okay. So would somebody who understands only English understand any of Cheng?
You can, because there are so many words, English words in Cheng.
So I could guess.
Yeah.
I could guess what they were saying.
Yeah, you can easily guess.
In a foreign country, when you think you know 80% of the language, that 20% you don't know can get you in a lot of trouble. That's advice I'm giving the two of you. So that's how I am in Spanish. I think I understand about 80%, and that 20% I understand. You can really embarrass yourself and others. But well, that's fascinating. So when you all do the shows, we'll have to also try them out on our World Radio and acornradio.org. So we're excited about this partnership. They only broadcast at 25 watts, but they said that they have a fairly large area. They were saying, what, 5 kilometers?
5 kilometers.
Is that because, give people a sense who are listening, is Nairobi a flat area, or are there hills, or what's the topography here?
I think they also talked about the trust and also the information that is getting released. So sometimes it's like they're trying to limit the information that's being given out. And some information might be very sensitive, depending its issues affecting only the people in the settlements. So that's why I think there is a lot of limitation by the government. And also the frequency, it's also the same to all the slum areas.
From what the manager was telling us, there are 4 stations on the same frequency that have this limited broadcast area, all of them in slums, Kibera, Coragocha, and so forth. That's quite a fascinating experiment, but it's obviously, like all community radio, difficult to keep on the air. They're trying to raise money every day, and we know what that's like in Acorn, so it'll be a good partnership. We're talking to Sammy and David, who are community organizers with Acorn Kenya. Nairobi seems to have grown in the last 3 years since I was here. There's a new highway and some huge skyscrapers. What's going on? Is the economy that good, or is this outside speculation? What do you guys think?
It's both. The economy is growing, but I think in terms of the common Wananchi, the common person, it's like they feel blessed. Although in terms of public relationship, economy is growing. But the common Wananchi, life is still the same. It's even becoming more and more difficult because prices are getting higher every day.
We passed in this circuitous route we took to Coragocha. We passed the construction site on a building that they said is going to be the tallest in all of Africa, 100 stories. Who in the world is building that? Do we know?
No idea.
Yeah, is it African people or is it Chinese or who? Who knows?
Could it be the Chinese? Because that is now our main partner.
We saw one empty building the Chinese were building, but they...
No construction happening.
Yeah, it looked like that was on pause. If people wanted to send some support to Acorn Kenya, how would they do that?
Yeah.
Is there an email or a Facebook or a website?
We have the email, Acorn Kenya Trust.
Or you can certainly make a donation on Acorn International. That's www.acorninternational.org. There's a donate button. You can do it through PayPal or whatever. Just say you want to support Acorn Kenya at the bottom. Any other comments for our listeners?
Yeah, we are very grateful for listeners, and we really like any information that can build any criticism on whatever that we are doing that can be constructive or can be useful to building up on Kenya.
Absolutely. David, any final comment?
We are very happy to talk to our viewers of what we are doing, and we really need to work together so that we can address the issues that are affecting Korokocho. And we know from now, when we start actually going for radio shows, we will be able to reach so many people, and we will be able to get to synergize and maybe do campaigns that will actually shock the area.
You know, I forgot to ask, how many members do we have now in Kenya?
We have around 260 who are very active, although in terms of membership, there are so many members who have been members, up to around more than 600.
Right. So we keep on growing. 600 will be 1,000 soon, and we've got a lot of things happening. Thank both of you. This has been a broadcast from the Lifestyle Hotel Cafe. So we apologize for how authentic this is, but welcome to Korogochu. This is Life in Kenya. And this has been Wage World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard. And as Lucinda Williams sings, things you've never seen and will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud. We say it on the air. We say it on the radio. Until next week, when we will have another guest. This is Wade Brathke from Wage World.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.